This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is sponsored by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Choose from over 150,000 titles that can be downloaded to your computer, iPhone, Android phone, or any other audio device. Get Terry Funk, More Than Just Hardcore, Dusty, Reflections of Wrestling's American Dream, or many other options. It can be yours for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Thanks. Now enjoy the show.
Time to play the game!
Welcome back, everybody, to another new episode of the Missed Spots podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Kevin.
And I've been out of wrestling, kind of, for the past week or so.
You've been out of the country, kind of.
Not kind of. I have been.
Exactly, yeah.
Look at Kevin saying things like. You're usually the one correcting that.
Yeah, I get annoyed to hear that over and over again. Likes and ums.
I missed the Fastlane pay-per-view and the Raw following that. I still haven't watched Fastlane yet. Sickness when I came back. And
you're supposed to lie to the people and just say that you watched it because it makes you seem more credible.
I'm not a liar.
All right. At least
You want me to try this again?
Yeah, take two.
All right. So we saw Fastlane a couple weeks ago and the Raw afterwards.
I think you're doing lying wrong.
I know all the results, obviously. It'd be hard for me to actually keep myself from not finding out. So I'm not that big into the whole spoilers bullshit. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
I thought it was a really good episode of Raw. A lot of the pay-per-views you might be able to say that about recently. The main event, just to start off with the high note of what I thought about the pay-per-view, that was the best Roman Reigns has ever looked inside of a ring. That match was great. Bryan just carried him to a good match, and it's not even fair to say that. Roman, he held his own and did a really, really good job. They sold well, both of them. It was an exciting match. It gave us a glimpse of what Roman Reigns can accomplish as a top guy, if not the top guy in the company. We knew that Roman was going to go over. At least we didn't know it. We had a strong feeling that he was going to go over.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job with the ending. I think they did a good job with that change in booking. We think change in booking from Royal Rumble to Fastlane with getting Bryan involved was huge in changing Roman, diverting some of the negative emotions from some of the fans. Then giving Roman Reigns a little more of an edgy character, and then putting him in a place where he could actually shine in the ring. I am still not sold on Roman Reigns, but I'm back to late last year Roman Reigns, where I am not at all upset to see him on TV. I'm not annoyed by his poor promo work or his limited in-ring skills or developing in-ring skills. He now seems like an interesting character who I want to see. And possibly, they've sold me a little more on him with the storyline as they've let it play out.
And it's interesting you say that about going back to and his poor mic skills. He actually showed this past Raw, he's still not there with he flubbed a number of lines.
I don't think he's there at all, but they're not featuring that. They're not giving him long rambling promos about fairy tales. They're letting him do a little more of the cocky, confident, badass babyface, which is what he should have been all along. You've said it many times. The backlash was never directly about Roman Reigns. It was how they were using his character and how they were, he was, they fans felt he was being pushed down their throats, and giving him a chance to do what he's good at, you know, emphasize his strengths, hide his weaknesses, and really putting on a very good match with Daniel Bryan. And it was great to see Daniel Bryan back in the ring and working. I mean, he did a phenomenal job in that match. Mm-hmm. I was on the edge of my seat. I loved watching it. It was a great match. But other than that match, we had a subpar pay-per-view for the most part. There wasn't a lot going on. The Ambrose and Wade Barrett match ending on a DQ because he wouldn't break from the corner. I can't really get involved. If they're going
to
end on,
what's the point of that? What's that supposed to advance in the story?
If they're going to end on DQ, I do not have an issue with a unhinged Dean Ambrose getting DQ'd, but he should be getting DQ'd by trying to hit him with the title belt. He should be getting DQ'd by trying to hit him with a chair. He should just be so angry and pissed off at Barrett that he just loses control and tries to take him out.
It just seems counterproductive from the story they were building up to the match, with Dean being like, man, I really want to be on the wall and Titan Tower.
But that's true, but it's also his character that he's the lunatic fringe. He's unhinged. But I felt like they gave me a half measure when they should have been a full measure. They gave him that DQ, okay, fine, but they should have gone farther with it, with him being a little more unhinged, a little more dangerous, or just give us an actual match and have Barrett cheat to win, like a good heel does, and then set up another match, because we had a feeling this feud was going to continue. Everything around Bad News Barrett since he's walked back in the company from his injury has been atrocious.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's won.
And he was on such fire.
And he was on fire when they brought him back. People were thrilled to see him back. He got a huge pop when he showed up. He got huge pops when he showed up on the pre-show of pay-per-views. People wanted to see this guy. And they've had him lose time and time again. He loses to everybody, including Zin Cara. I think his only win since he's had the title is the rematch from Zin Cara on an episode of frickin' SmackDown. He gets beaten. He gets rolled up. I mean, he looks like a fucking fool. And he's supposed to be a credible IC champ. I mean, baffling to me. Baffling. That match, that everything surrounding that has been very, very bad in my opinion. And I can't even, the matches were so kind of subpar, nothing really stood out to me. I was surprised to see Cesaro and Kidd win the tag team titles.
I kind of was too. I really wanted them to, but I thought it might have taken a second match, before that happened.
And that was a good match. That was a good match. What else did we have? We had the
Six Man, the Authority.
That was a boring match.
It was
to
just
me.
A lead up to bring Randy back,
right? And it fell completely flat to me. That match, and then they did the rematch like the next night on Raw. It was just whatever.
We had Goldust and Stardust.
That match was a big disappointment.
I heard that the ending looked flubbed, that it may have not have been what the ending was supposed to be.
It was either the ref made a mistake, and because he went down for the three count and he tucked his hand back underneath like they were supposed to kick out. But the way, I mean, so either he was supposed to kick out of that and do a different finish, or the ref just had a brain fart and went down for the three, you know, pulled his hand back from the three, thinking he was going to kick out. One of those two things. The big problem with this match was that it didn't have any flow for two guys that are brothers. They haven't allowed any of this really.
Was there the emotion there?
There really wasn't. The whole thing was, you know, before the match, Goldust says, "I'm going to go out there and kick his ass." And then he was very tentative. He wasn't really going after him. He's playing the baby face, like a concerned brother. He wasn't trying to hurt him. And Stardust did a good job of, you know, coming. He kept bailing out to the outside and regrouping, which was good. He didn't actually wear his full bodysuit either. He just wore trunks and gloves and, you know, his makeup. So he had a kind of a different look to him that day, which I thought was good, and kind of an evolution of the character, even though he's gone right back to what it was before. So who knows about that. But it didn't really ever get started. The crowd at Fastlane was really dead. The crowd was very, very apathetic towards the...
I had read something about that, but I had also read that the acoustics in that particular arena in Memphis are very bad and typically seem to just drown any sound out of it.
But in general, it did not come off as people being excited about it. I think they missed a boat on this feud. I think they waited too long for it.
They could have turned this, like, I mean, it's PG TV, but they could have turned this into a blood feud between two brothers.
You know, this is armchair booking 101, you know, forgive me, but what I would have loved to have seen was this feud start about a month earlier, leading up to a pay-per-view where you have Goldust trying to out Crazy Stardust, right? Goldust is the original. He really was the usher of the Attitude Era, so to speak, with this outlandish character and all the innuendo and things of that nature. So if Stardust is trying to be that crazy guy, Goldust can say, "Oh yeah, I can bring this too." So it's Stardust and Goldust, and they have a 2-month feud with that, with the head games and sending presents and doing all that kind of crazy stuff, with the idea that the actual blow off of the feud is Cody and Dustin at WrestleMania, where they go so far in that one direction, and however creatively you can get that kind of that part of it to play off. So maybe Goldust wins. Maybe he wins both the pay-per-view feuds, and Cody just basically says, "Okay, you got it. I'm Cody, but I'm going to kick your ass as Cody." And then you have Cody and Dustin go off, blow off view to WrestleMania. Cody goes over, Dustin retires, and they retire as, the brothers.
I like that. I would have gone kind of the complete opposite.
The opposite,
way.
Okay.
I would have had, of course, this feud start earlier, so you can have more build-up time, and have Dustin coming out being like, "Cody, this is Dustin talking. This isn't Goldust talking to Stardust. This is Dustin talking to Cody," and Cody just being, "No, I'm Stardust." Like it was kind of for a little bit, and leading up to the first match, it's Dustin's taking off the paint. He's like trying to get down to earth, and he actually is the match. It's Dustin Rhodes against Stardust, and Cody wins, and then he starts putting, "You know what? I can't beat him as Dustin. I have to beat him as Goldust." Mm-hmm. And then the head games start coming. "I'm going to show you who the master of the head games are."
Well, either way, you're utilizing your characters well. You're telling a real story, an extra layer of the story with the feud, and you're keeping, I think, you could keep people more involved. So I hope that they do something better with these two for WrestleMania, because I think they really deserve a chance to go out. And maybe they just didn't have it that night. Maybe the chemistry in the ring, maybe they haven't worked against each other very often. I assume in house shows and stuff they've been doing some matches to prepare. But maybe it was just one of those things where it was kind of flat for them that night. Mm. I have confidence that they'll be able to put something good together for what I assume is going to be a WrestleMania rematch.
Yeah.
But it was just disappointing.
Though.
And the way it ended, there was no brutality to it. There was no physicality to it. It ended in a roll-up.
Unless I walked out of the room for a minute and I missed something, they weren't on Raw at all last night.
The Raw after the pay-per-view, Cody came out as a Rosebud and attacked Goldust. The Raw the next night.
Okay.
So I assume they're continuing the feud in some way. But I don't know about Raw. I did not see Raw this last week.
We also had Nikki beating Paige.
Whatever. Okay. Yes, we had that happen. Okay.
And Rusev defeating Cena via submission, passed out
submission. That is, it's so overused, the passed out in the submission hold. He did it to Jack Swagger. I think he did it to Big Show, probably. That is very overused. Cena should have tapped out to the accolade in that match.
Fun fact. You know how many times John Cena has tapped out in WWE?
Never.
Three.
Three times?
Twice to Kurt Angle. Once to Mr. We're erasing him.
Okay.
From
and this
all
is a part, this is all very early on in his career too. Mm-hmm. He should have tapped out, or they should have had a similar. They could have stole a spot from NXT where he can't get him to submit, so he just pounds him into the mat and finds a creative way to get a pin out of him,
or a
just
TKO.
Like, yeah, it's just too overused. They've done it too many times with Rusev. And I would have liked to see a clean victory there. With that being said, you still had John Cena fighting for the U.S. title. It was a pretty good match. There were some jokes on the internet where, you know, everyone watching knew it was coming because Cena yells his spots out so loud, which a lot of people talked about. But the match was pretty good. There was nothing wrong with that match. It was one of the better matches I've seen Rusev in. And they did a nice heel thing where Lana distracted. Why couldn't Lana have distracted the ref and have Rusev hit him with the U.S. title belt? I would have thought that was better finish than the pass out thing. Mm-hmm. I just don't dig it. But it will continue the feud, we imagine.
Yes.
And hopefully we see Rusev pin Cena, but I don't think so.
Well, last week on Raw, which thanks to the wonders of television and the WWE liking to rehash everything from previous weeks. Cena wanted a rematch and Rusev said no.
Yeah.
They continued that again. Last night, Cena came out and actually Steph came out. And this was a weird moment for me watching the show. I thought that the crowd last night in Newark, New Jersey was very strange. They couldn't seem to determine where they were with people. There was some talk on Reddit, like, "Oh, that was a great crowd," and people who were there and people who were watching it were like, "We couldn't tell." They're like, "Oh, we booed the hell out of Roman Reigns." Like, there was a lot of cheering from television, but Cena came out and they did their sing along with John Cena sucks. Mm-hmm. Steph came out and tore him apart. They cheered every bit of that. Then Rusev came out and was saying, "I can be the one that gives you the opportunity." And the fans start chanting yes as if they're behind Cena. Like, this doesn't make any sense at all. Now you're all of a sudden behind him, and when Rusev says no, they booed. Like,
well, I think the John Cena sucks thing is just something that is done.
It's fun.
It's like people lighting their phones up when Bray enters the arena. But they're still booing the heel and cheering the babyface.
Also, during the same segment, Curtis Axel came out as fuck.
Well, they're giving him something funny and interesting to do. The whole Axelmania thing, and they're not going to do anything with it.
And we got a very small bit of heel Cena.
Oh, really?
Because Steph set up a match between Axel and Cena, and Cena grabs the mic and he goes, "Curtis, you don't want this. So I'm going to give you one opportunity to walk out of this ring. Because if you don't, and this match starts, you're not going to walk out of this ring." I was like, that's brilliant. Like, that could be a Cena thing. But then they followed it up with, like, it was a 2-minute match, and Cena didn't look any nastier at all. It was just Cena shtick.
Yeah.
It didn't make it look brutal in any way, but they teased the marks who really want to see him turn heel with that.
Well, the marks, it's not just a heel turn they want. They just want a slight change to his character. They want him to be more of a badass. They want him to stop making so many stupid jokes.
Yeah.
So we have that. We have that.
Your mic is cutting out all of a sudden.
How about there?
Oh, there you go. Nope.
Hold on 1 second.
You were good there.
Fill the phone.
The time is 6:49. Oh, I thought you said say the time. I was feeling radio like there. So you would say a good main event, a good tag team title match, but other than that, it fell flat.
Yeah, I didn't. It was a good episode of Raw, mm-hmm. to me. It was a worthwhile thing to watch. It just didn't really stand out to me. Like, I didn't remember several of the matches, and it's only 2 weeks or a week ago, whatever it was. The other thing that I wanted to mention was, what the fuck are they doing with Randy Orton?
Oh, and you should have seen last night.
Why? So Randy Orton has played. Randy Orton always had a hard time in a face role. He's just such a smarmy asshole that he's just easy to boo. But after so long, even though he has a great look, even though he's a good in-ring worker, people just got bored with his character. And people were flat for him, right? So they set up a good angle to have him go away for a while, which everyone should go away every now and then. Everyone. Cena, Brian, you know, obviously there's injury. Going away for a while is a fine thing. It makes people want to see you again. Makes people, you know, long for what they don't have. So he goes away for a while. They send him away with getting knocked out by Seth Rollins, which is good, sending up a great feud between two guys I'd love to see in the ring. He comes back. He takes out the rest of the Authority to a huge ovation. People are thrilled to see him. They're cheering like he's getting a better reaction than he has gotten in years. And then they keep him in this kind of
tweener
thing where, oh, is he going to turn on him? Is he not? It's killing his heat.
Yeah.
It's killing his reaction because people don't know what to do with it. And even if it comes out that he was setting this whole thing up all along, the dude in the storyline puts your head through, it was a cinder block that he did, the cinder block?
Yeah.
Put your head through a cinder block. Tried to end your career, and you're going to come play head games with him for a while? No, that was Dean.
That was Dean.
It was just heads into on the steel steps.
Yeah.
And you're going to come back and pussyfoot around this thing? No, you're fucking Randy Orton. You come in, you RKO the shit out of him, and you keep coming after him until you get a match. It makes him look like a bitch for coming back and doing this and worrying about whether the Authority is going to be okay and blah, blah, blah. They're just killing. They had a great opportunity to bring in another guy who they love, who they want near the top of the card, to bring him back as a babyface and give him a good little 6 months run as such. And they're killing that opportunity right now. They've got a few weeks left until WrestleMania. That you should have Orton chasing Rollins this entire time.
They were continuing the whole John Stewart thing with Seth, and Stewart was on last night. And
you do this Wednesday, right?
Oh, goddamn, it is.
That's what I mean.
on Monday, and Seth was doing his daily show, and he is about to attack Stewart, and Orton's music hits, and Orton just kind of walks down the aisleway, distracts Seth enough for Stewart to kick him in the nuts and get out of there. And then Orton's like, you know what, Seth, for your match tonight, I'm going to have your back. Like, where is this coming from? Like, he came out, distracted him to help Stewart, and now he wants to help Seth? Then he did help Seth in the main event. Like, what the fuck? And he looked conflicted about it. Like, he did it on purpose. He grabbed Roman's leg to set up a schoolboy. And then he goes, oh, no. How did I do that? You grabbed the man's leg.
And playing off this, is he with him? Is he not? Is he playing mind games with him? Is he not? It's just cheap. You have a ready-made feud with two guys who people want to see in the ring. One guy they really want to cheer. One guy they really want to boo.
Mm-hmm. You can't make it any easier than that.
Stop fucking that up. They've given you this. You have it. It's there. It's similar to the whole thing with Miz and Sandow. They're holding on to this way too long. They now it looks like they're not going to. This should have been a blow off at WrestleMania. For a lower card match, people really would have been behind it. They could have opened WrestleMania with Miz and Sandow and got the crowd hot because people are really behind Sandow and they fucking hate the Miz, right? So they should have had this feud set up at Fastlane by the latest. The latest they should have had this thing set up at Fastlane. Now it's looking like they'll probably, if they're going to do the turn and set this up, they're going to do it at the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
But it's too late. Why not set this thing up and give it a big stage because this thing's been building for so long. Just like with the Goldust, they were waiting too long. Maybe because they don't have anything afterwards, maybe because they haven't planned it through. But you're going to wait too long, and then the reaction isn't going to be what you want because people are going to be bored with it.
And they had Miz accidentally record an erectile dysfunction commercial.
Right, which they set up the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how that's PG, I don't know. But, you know, McMahon's fingerprints are all over that.
Oh, of course.
Dick and fart jokes, that's all he wants. But
Why don't we talk a little bit about your thoughts on the Intercontinental Championship right now?
It is the fucking hardcore championship without pinfalls. And it's silly. Barrett has been made to look like the weakest Intercontinental Champion since Bob Holly held it for an hour and a half. And he looked more credible than this. You're pretty much just throwing together the rest of the roster that is over or quasi over and being like, here, you guys do this, and throwing in R-Truth, which I saw some pictures, Long Island publication. They had the Nassau Coliseum had a house show, and they posted pictures of it on an article online, and they were calling R-Truth What's Up, as that's his name. Like, here's What's Up, tangling with Fandango. But R-Truth looks like crazy as normal. Like, he plays that I'm not all there character, but kind of funny about it pretty well. You were telling me before the show about an instance that I didn't see. I guess it was on last week's television.
Mm-hmm.
With who was it?
With Byron Saxton.
With
right?
Byron Saxton, calling him a coach.
He kept calling him coach. It was funny as hell. I thought it was great. It's been entertaining. It doesn't make any sense storyline wise because you've got former IC champion Luke Harper, who was at one point very recently in the IC title picture, in the tag team title picture, part of the Wyatt family, excellent in the ring, right? And then you've got Ziggler, Ambrose, and Bryan, who are main event guys, and Barrett, and then you have R-Truth. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. But fine. They add some comedy to it and makes it a little more interesting. But what this match tells me is this. We had no forethought on what was going on with any of these guys for a feud for WrestleMania season. So because we didn't have any thoughts, and now we're a few weeks out, throw them all in a Intercontinental Championship ladder match. I will say this, it'll probably be a pretty goddamn good match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll probably be pretty entertaining. But the fact that you don't have a feud for Ziggler and for Bryan, and to a lesser extent because Ambrose and Barrett feud was a feud. But the fact that you don't have anything for those guys to do, really? Two of your most over guys and best workers in the company, you have nothing for them at WrestleMania other than being tacked on to an existing feud. Yeah, we're going to see a good match. Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens in it. But it seems very haphazardly booked. in my opinion. Hopefully, this will be the watershed moment where the IC champion becomes someone that can actually win a match. That's the only saving grace this may be. If whoever wins this match can then maybe win two or three non-title matches in a row, I would be thrilled, because that would be a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Whoever it is. I'm still assuming that Dean's going to win it. But maybe it's Brian. Maybe they're not going to put him in the main event title picture. I got no problem seeing the IC title around a great worker like him. I liked it, but Ziggler's had it enough recently, so maybe not the best idea to put it on him. You don't think they're going to put it on Harper. And there's no reason to keep it on Barrett, not with the way they're booking him.
Yeah. I don't know who I think's going to come out with it. I just hope whoever does can be made to look more credible than what they've been doing.
That's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
How about Bray and Undertaker? What's your thoughts?
I'm still not sure what to expect from this. You almost think that they are going to give Taker his heat back for the loss. They can't. Bray really has to win this match to catapult him to the next level. I mean, he's needed a big feud win for a while. Like, the Ambrose feud grew cold, and I don't really think that really counts.
Well, the blow off in the feud happened on our episode of Raw.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fine, but it's just not what you expect.
The Jericho feud, he won that, but again, that
ended on episode of Raw.
Yes, and about a month after their last match, because Jericho went on tour.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity that they had with Cena was blown, really. They have to give him this win, but I don't know if it's going to actually happen. And also, not having Taker on TV building up this feud, I've read what their mindset on this is, that they think that by leaving him off TV, it will make for a bigger reaction when he comes back. Okay, reactions only mean when that is going on. They don't help sell pay-per-views or sell subscriptions. Bring him back, and people will be like, okay, now I'm gonna buy the network, or I'm gonna buy the pay-per-view.
I think he has to show up one time at least. The go-home show, or whatever it is. I think you just want to see him once. Mm-hmm. So even standing on the stage and pointing at him in the ring, whatever it is. Or how badass would it be if you've got Bray is set for a match or just coming out for a promo and all the lights are off and the fireflies are out, and as he's going to blow out the lantern, the lights go up and Taker standing in the corner having raised the lights, and Bray just looks terrified, and they have a confrontation with a short brawl and get separated. Just something to see him and do something interesting and quick. Nothing long-winded, no promo. You don't have to necessarily do that. But
it does build the tension of the match more, and the anticipation.
Right now, Wyatt is feuding
with himself.
With himself. It's him and his imaginary friend.
Much.
Exactly.
And I hate to say it because I really like Bray, but I'm not sold on this match because it's just him in these promos, and it's getting boring seeing that.
Well, there's it can work because everyone knows The Undertaker and has such respect for The Undertaker, and his reputation precedes him, right? But other than Bray saying, well, I want to fight you because I'm the new face of darkness or whatever. There's nothing other than being called out. The Undertaker has no reason to not like Bray. There's no back and forth. The story here, it seems like ready made, but it's kind of thin actually when you think about it. These two have no previous history together whatsoever. They're not, as we see, they're not even going to meet face to face until WrestleMania. Maybe that works. Maybe I'm overthinking that. Maybe. But it seems thin. I want to see at least one physical confrontation between them. One mention, one something from The Undertaker. Even with something like they did with Sting to, you know, doing some light stuff and having someone dressed as the Crow Sting to accept Triple H's thing at Fastlane. Something like that. But maybe because they have Sting there, they can't do that again.
We didn't touch on when talking about Fastlane.
Oh, yeah, the fact that Sting has been waiting 14 years to come back and...
Say nothing.
And fight. Sting wanted to wait until he was 55 to come and confront Triple H for single-handedly putting WCW out of business. That's one way you want to go with this. Or it could just be the fact that Sting is coming to the WWE because he'd never been there before, and he wants to fight Triple H because Triple H is a bully and trying to dominate the younger and moreover wrestlers, and he's not going to take it. He feels like he can do something about it. To me, that's a better story than...
Go ahead.
No, to me, that's a better story than what they've kind of concocted.
Last night, Cole goes, it took Sting so long because maybe Triple H was throwing up roadblocks and preventing him from coming here. Like, Sting didn't come because he's under contract with TNA.
Yeah. But TNA doesn't exist.
Of course.
In the WWE universe.
Which I'm like, okay, I know you're not going to mention him working for another company, but don't lie.
Well, this is what I don't understand about that. The WWE was at its peak, really, when it was in the Monday Night Wars and fighting WCW every single week. TNA is not to the level that WCW was at, but there's still another wrestling program. Pretending that there is no other wrestling program out there is silly. It's 1980s wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. That's what that is. It's an insulting to the fans. And to not mention it's childish. But why not mention them? Why not mention the fact that Sting was doing this in TNA and building champions, and he didn't want to come to WWE for whatever reason? There's other ways to play this to make it more interesting and make more sense.
Talking about like how these guys came from, they might not say by name, but like he spent a bunch of years
in Japan,
scene in Japan, and blah 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 blah. Like yes, there is wrestling elsewhere,
right?
And I would love to see a true, credible number two come up and compete. And there's a lot of talk in the internet community, at least, of New Japan possibly being that option because they are the legit number two company in the world. They're not the number two company in the U.S., but now that they're being seen a little more, they have a television show in America that it's not in a lot of households, but it's something with American commentary, and it's like a month or two behind, but it's bringing people up to date on who these characters are and providing a very entertaining
How product. Do they handle the promos from the Japanese-speaking wrestlers?
That I don't know because I don't have access.
I cannot... I can't see it. I cannot see an American audience watching a different style than what they're used to and not being able to. Part of a wrestler's promo is his voice in that promo. Mm-hmm. So even if you have a guy giving a very interesting promo in his own dialect and have someone overdubbing going, I really want to kick your ass.
Indeed.
Right. I just can't see that. I can't see it happening. No matter how good the product is, I can't see it happen.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. I love New Japan, but I don't think it can be a credible number two in America because of the language barrier, more so than the style. TNA has the opportunity. They have probably the most money of any other American.
And a lot of talent.
Yeah, an insane amount of talent. Ring of Honor has a lot of talent, but it doesn't seem like the parent company wants to spend the extra money on them. Apparently, they asked for more money this year to try to upgrade their lighting, which at least to JR is one of his biggest gripes about
that. Yeah, yeah, he says it all the time.
And they said no. You got Lucha Underground.
I've heard very good things about them.
I have too. And I don't know if I get El Rey Network, but one of these days I have to go back and watch it, especially like Del Rio's there now, looking like Mysterio's going to be there now. You have John Morrison and Chavo and Prince Puma, who's otherwise known as Ricochet, who's an insane talent. They got good stuff there, and it seems to be doing a lot. They're being kind of alternative with the way
I've heard their backstage segments are very, very well shot, very well done. That they have a very episodic feel to the show. It's only an hour long, which we've seen how successful NXT has been with that format. I just think pretending that no one else is out there is really stupid.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of Bush League, actually. It's paranoid. It's saying, we're afraid that you're going to go watch that product instead of ours. Where during the Monday Night Wars, they were saying, no, we have better product and we're going to show you. Then we're going to beat you, which I thought that speaks directly to McMahon's competitiveness. So what about NXT? What do you feel about NXT right now?
I didn't get to watch last week's episode, being
obviously, yeah,
country. The new episode is tonight as we're recording, or, well, in an hour or so. And I'll watch that. I don't really know a whole lot what's going on. I've read the results, but I find it interesting with some of the faces that are popping up, like Rhino a few weeks ago and Brian Kendrick last week.
Solomon Crow.
I'm a big fan of Solomon Crow from his independent days.
Well, he actually showed up
and beat up CJ Parker.
Yeah.
I did see that episode. That was 2 weeks ago, I think. This Rhino was on that episode, and the main event was Steen and Neville.
Yeah, yeah. And the next episode was the one where it was Finn Balor and Brian Kendrick was the main event.
I really like Kendrick. I've always been a fan of his work, and I thought near the end of his run with WWE with the Brian Kendrick, he was finally finding a character and some personality when he was just kind of a guy who was flashy in the ring and had a decent look. I think that him and Rhino both being there adds definitely that locker room presence that can be beneficial to the morale of some of the guys. And from what I'm reading lately, some of them could need it from the things that are apparently going on in NXT.
Yeah.
But I'll get on that in a little bit. I guess I was shocked, but not shocked by the reaction Rhino got. Like, Rhino's never been known as like the best in-ring worker, which the NXT fans seem to be a lot about, but they seem to be very nostalgic and they gave him a huge pop.
And he looked pretty good. He looked good. It was good to see that. I'm just wondering more and more of what they're going to do with all this talent. They have 1 hour a week. They have so many guys that aren't even featured on TV on a regular basis now.
And gals.
Yeah. It's just, it almost seems that they have too much. And I wonder what they're going to do with all these guys. But you've got, now it looks like we're going to get Enzo and Big Cass feuding for the titles, the tag team titles. So we have that going on. We're seeing more.
You're cutting out a little bit again.
Damn it. We have more of an edge to Bayley. Bayley is seeing more of her, a little more aggression that we started seeing before the last takeover event, but that's kind of continued on. We're going to have a rematch of Sasha Banks and Charlotte this week, tonight. That's happening. Obviously, the Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, we're going to see that. I think you're Hideo Tommy and
Tyler
Breeze are still continuing. They're going to continue their feud. it's just continuously, you know, still solid, very solid. I'm interested to see what they're doing with the three new guys that they've just brought in. And I'm just, I can't wait to hear about the next,
three new.
Well, they brought Kendrick back, Solomon Crow, and Rhino.
Gotcha.
But I can't wait to find out when they're going to do the next special.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited about that.
Rumors going around right now that Samoa Joe's going to be signing.
Oh, really?
With, WWE in a couple months. He signed with Ring of Honor, and he's going to be doing some dates with Ring of Honor, but apparently it's a very short-term deal. And once that deal is up, he's apparently signing with WWE and heading to NXT.
Really?
I'm a little shocked by that. I know we meant to talk about it, I think, the last episode, but we never did.
Yeah, we never got around to it.
Triple H is very big on Joe, but Joe's big.
Yeah.
And not in the type that McMahon likes.
He's also getting a little older now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's certainly not the age that he once was, but which is obvious.
Which you can probably say about pretty much everybody, can't you, Mike?
I thank you.
I've been the same age for the past 5 years.
But I still find him to be an entertaining character, and I still think that he can put on good matches, as long as he can watch his weight. I hate to say it, but a problem of a lot of Samoans. I hate to sound stereotypical, but
Mike's a racist.
Yeah, sorry. I'm Bill DeMott. You are going to have this overload of talent, and like you said, what are you doing with them? You can't send them all up to the main roster because there's such a clusterfuck going on up there.
I think at some point they're just going to have to start flushing some of these guys out, unfortunately. Guys like R-Truth, guys like Zack Ryder, if they're never going to use them.
Big Show, Kane.
Yeah, some of the guys near the top of the card, too, or the older guys near the top of the card. And they might have to expand NXT at least another hour or do a second show per week.
I think a second show would be good.
Yeah. But, you know, those really nice.
Or they need to go back to the brand extension.
Yeah.
But having Raw and SmackDown be separate. Yeah.
We'll see what they end up doing. I just, anything that's going to dilute the NXT product scares me because I'm such a fan of it. So that would really upset me if they dilute the product a little bit and all of a sudden it's just not as good. The storylines aren't as concise. They have to drag things out longer. Right now, everything seems to blow off when it should blow off. Everything seems real sharp, real good. You don't expect to see Adrian Neville every single show. You don't expect to see all these guys every single show. And I like that about it because we still know they're there. We still know that they're engaged in some kind of feud or they have something going on, but you don't have to see it. You know? Mm-hmm. So I do like that. But do you want to go on to one fucking thing?
Sure.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Right on Monday night, right around when Raw was about to start, big news really came out about a former NXT superstar or WWE developmental talent that went by the name of Judas Devlin. Brought about some pretty serious accusations against WWE NXT head trainer Bill DeMott. And he was on a radio show or a podcast talking about it. And he also released a email that he sent to HR in WWE. And he outlines a number of times in which he was made to work in the ring when he wasn't medically cleared or wasn't fully warmed up and put into dangerous situations that caused injuries to him, of this happening to other wrestlers, of wrestlers being insulted based off of sexual orientation or race by DeMott, or being verbally and physically abused by him. This shouldn't come as a surprise to most people because DeMott's actually been fired from the company before for the same things. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Bill DeMott, don't blame yourself, because he really was a nobody when it came to wrestling. His claim to fame was he was number one on Goldberg's streak. He was the first guy that Goldberg ever beat. Other than that, he was Hugh Morris. He was General Rection.
I kind of liked Hugh Morris.
I didn't like
him. I don't know why. I liked his moonsault. I always thought it was impressive for a guy that size.
It is impressive. Impressive to see a big man do that. But, I mean, Bam Bam was bigger than him.
Oh, yeah.
His looked really good. And Vader as well.
He wasn't my favorite. I didn't have the... Some people just thought that he was awful.
No laughing matter.
Yeah.
DeMott was fired previously from this position for this sort of behavior, replaced by Dr. Tom Pritchard, who is seemingly globally praised by the young guys and someone that everyone looks up to and really likes, who was eventually then replaced by Bill DeMott again. Devlin, some people say that he's just looking for his 15 minutes of fame or is complaining and whining, has received a lot of support from other former superstars, former developmental folks, including Dolph Ziggler's brother, who was in developmental and was one of the people named as being abused by DeMott. Joey Ryan, who is a very big independent name, has always been very vocal about how awful of a person DeMott is. Even MVP has said something, and Ethan Carter from TNA has said something. Trent Beretta, many guys have come out and backed him. And WWE just said, "We took the accusations made 2 years ago very seriously. We conducted a full investigation and was not able to validate any of the claims. Regardless, WWE continues to reinforce policies and procedures to ensure a positive training environment." It's kind of bullshit, but I'm really interested to see if fans keep some pressure on this and these former people keep some pressure on, and maybe some current people speak out, which probably won't happen. If this bully, for lack of a better term, gets what he deserves and gets put out on his ass again. It's kind of funny when one of WWE's biggest campaigns is Be a Star, which is not being a bully and standing up to bullies, has one of the biggest ones training their future down in Orlando. I think it's a shame. And with other people that are down in Orlando working at the Performance Center, like Ricky Steamboat and Billy Gunn, and Robbie Brookside and Norman Smiley, people who are respected throughout the industry, I don't see how any of them couldn't take over this job from him.
Well, I think one of the things to mention, though, is that even with all the evidence, I guess you'd call it evidence, of people saying, yeah, I've experienced that as well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We really don't know. And there's usually not a black or white here. There's usually some shades of gray where, there might be some people down there that actually really like Bill DeMott and respect him and think that he treats them fairly. And also, you have to also say how good the NXT product has been, and maybe Bill DeMott has a hand in that. Maybe he has a very significant hand. We also don't know that. So that's just one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I agree
but
with that.
I will say this. The entire idea of this rough and tumble and, you know, we're really going to beat you up and we got to harden you up and toughen you up for the road. I have no idea what it takes to do that for a living. I would probably be broken in about 5 minutes. But we've seen over the years, there was a time in the NFL where, you know, they used to haze rookies relentlessly, and guys took a lot of punishment, and, you know, guys were, you know, using sports tape to set bones and go back and play football. And I think it's pretty much understood that we're glad that we've passed some of those times. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that goes on in NFL locker rooms or NBA locker rooms or NHL locker rooms that we don't know about. But this kind of like big, tough, you know, gotta be a rough and tumble guy kind of stuff, I think it's kind of archaic and kind of barbaric. I think those guys are plenty tough enough if you can bump around on a mat like they do day in and day out.
Yeah.
So I think some of that bullying stuff, as you said, the fact that they have a huge anti-bullying campaign, having somebody that has that kind of stink on them is definitely not good for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My one fucking thing is about referees. I was reading an article on crack.com 2 days ago, I think it was, where there was a independent wrestling referee did a, you know, top five things you don't know about being a wrestling referee, which is, you know, pretty much all those lists are that are introduce people to different jobs. And it was very interesting, but he mentioned some things that I remember from my childhood with a great deal of fondness. I remember when the referees had names.
Yeah.
I remember when the referees had personalities. And those referees, when it was done well, they were in the background, but they were a very important part of the story. And then every now and then, you'd have someone like Danny Davis that would become a major part of the story because he was the crooked referee that someone bought off.
Or the Hebner twins.
Oh, the Hebner twins. There's a lot of things that have been done over the years with good referee storylines. But the most important part of that is that if the referees themselves had a level of personality to them, we could see things like a referee, he has a particularly fast count or a slow count. That could be something that you use to strategize and use information to tell a story. This is something that they have watered that down to almost nothing in the current wrestling product that we see. And it's a shame. It's another layer of storytelling. It's another person that can be on TV. Just announcing the referee before the match and giving them something. They are a part of that action. They are the ones we see when they fuck up, like we think might have happened with the Stardust Goldust match at Fastlane, the microscope that goes on. They're an important part of that story, and the fact that we aren't utilizing someone that's in the ring already is just a wasted opportunity. If the referee the ref of the match of Ambrose and Barrett was notorious for not taking as much shit and being quick to disqualify somebody, that could have played into what happened with the storyline. You could have something like Bad News Barrett going to the authority and requesting that ref, knowing that Ambrose gets unhinged and trying to goad him into a DQ so he can keep his title. There's another thing that you can do. And they don't always have to be up front, but it's like when they used to announce a match. This match is one fall, but with a 15-minute time limit. Mm-hmm. They would announce that before every match, even though I rarely saw two out of three falls matches or matches that went to the time limit. But saying it gives you an extra second or two to take up of your three-hour Raw, and two, sets up something else down the road that can be different. And it also makes it seem like an actual real event, because I know boxing referees were always part of the story. Boxing referees were notorious for how they called bouts, or their personalities, or how they gave their pre-fight instructions.
Yes. Let's get it on.
Yeah, exactly. When you take away those actual sporting elements of things, like time limits and things like that, you really expose the business for what it is. Now, everyone's smart to the business nowadays, but it's about suspension of disbelief. Let us suspend our disbelief by immersing us in this product, mm-hmm, and not spoon-feeding it to us.
I that's something I never thought of until you just said it, and it's a brilliant point, and I 100% agree with you. Like, there used to be a time when, before a match, they'd be like, referee Earl Hebner calls for the bell and we're underway. Like, they gave him a name. They gave him being a person. Like, we haven't seen that really since. We got a little Steve Armstrong there late last year with the Brian Bryan and Triple H Randy Orton thing with where he did a fast count and they pretended that he sided with Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
A really good example of how someone is doing that is in Independence with Chikara. Bryce Remsburg, their senior official, is very much a personality as well as a referee. People recognize him, and he is a valuable part of every match that he is involved in. And I'd love to see that be personifying those referees. They're not just someone who is there. I want that even more so because of one of the referees in NXT, who was a really popular, indie wrestler. Drake Younger is now one of the more prominently seen referees in NXT, and he doesn't really get to show off there. He's just counting the falls and counting the chokes and raising hands, and he was a good wrestler with a good personality, and I'd like to see that shine more.
You know, we have the WWE Network, and we can go back and watch all this classic wrestling. And I would suggest for some of the people in creative, some of the people in the higher ups in the WWE, go watch your network. Go watch some stuff from the late 80s. Ignore some of the cartoony things. Ignore some of the things that are obviously dated. There's a lot of great content there that can be used now. Little things like that, going back to the roots, that can engage the audience to a greater degree. Hell, I'd love to see, you can even start doing it by having all the referees stage a walkout because there's no rules anymore, and start reinstilling the fact that there actually should be some kind of, even if it's nebulous, rules that the wrestlers actually have to go by, so that when they cheat, it actually means something. And then you could slowly introduce to make the referees a little more prominent. They should never be the whole story. They should always just be a little small part of it, so that when you need that little extra thing, you can pull it out and you can make sense of it. Now, if they do something with a referee, it seems so out of place. It's like they pulled this out of their ass for one night, and then it never gets mentioned again.
Yeah.
So that was my one fucking thing.
This just in. Renee Young is dating Dean Ambrose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good for him.
You heard it first, America.
We haven't really talked about the world title match from Mania that much. Is there really that much to... I mean, you want to talk about Brock walking off of Raw?
Go for it, brother.
I mean, we still don't really know why this happened, but apparently it was a dispute between Vince and Brock over a potential new deal with Brock. And I guess also, Brock wanted to be on the upcoming UFC or the past UFC pay-per-view, just be there, not compete. And McMahon had a problem with that. And Brock, I guess, probably told him to go fuck himself and showed up there anyway. One of the guys fighting was, he helped coach on a season of The Ultimate Fighter, so I think he was just there to show some support for a former student of his.
Why wouldn't Vince McMahon want one of his contracted wrestlers to show up on a nationally televised event watched by real sports fans that love watching to see someone fight and people get their ass kicked, and see a wrestler who is a former MMA guy who was a badass champion there and go, oh, I forgot that he was doing that. I'm going to check that out and see what he looks like,
and
what he's doing there.
Because they might have on the screen, say, Brock Lesnar, WWE superstar, WWE
champion.
Giving him some credit, and
he's probably worried that he's going to lose him going back to MMA, which is understandable because they'd like to keep him around for the right price. Obviously,
MMA is not direct competition, too.
Right? But even then, there's it's I bet money that if Roman Reigns wanted to go there for an event for whatever reason, because he's under contract and there's no possibility of him jumping over to fight MMA. They probably wouldn't have a problem with it. But a guy who right now his contract is up in like 3 weeks and they're not sure if he's going to be there or not, that's probably why he's a little freaked out by it.
And it also along with something that Punk said on the Art of Wrestling podcast, where he wanted to walk out to the ring with Chael Sonnen, and Vince told, no, you can't do that. But Undertaker's been on TV at multiple UFC events.
Yeah.
Triple H walked out Floyd Mayweather in a match of his, and boxing has gotten more of a black eye than MMA has recently, and because Vince says that MMA is barbaric.
I just think that if Brock's going to stay around, we feel like Reigns is going to go over Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Then we're hoping that Rollins cashes in his briefcase and walks out with a championship. That would be great.
Fingers crossed.
But I just wonder what... If Brock's going to stay around, he's almost got to stay in the world title hunt, right?
Yeah.
You think like he kind of has to. Or they have to have a ready-made feud with him and somebody that can do big dollars. I don't see who that feud is with. I think it's actually going to have a hard time keeping Brock Lesnar heel. I think the crowd wants to cheer the guy. Mm-hmm. And as much as Heyman is hated, he is beloved even more. And so because you have the best promo guy doing promos for the biggest badass wrestler in the world right now, it's kind of hard to have those two guys there and not get cheered. Heyman can draw all the heat, but even then, people just want to see him out there.
What about this? Bray and Brock. You have Bray go over Undertaker at the pay-per-view, and then you have the two people that beat him.
Right, the last two WrestleManias.
Feud. You have Brock, who broke the Undertaker. Then you have Bray, who maybe destroyed.
But buried him. Yeah.
The Undertaker. And that might be a way to have Brock be a face.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even get, Bray some more heel heat.
Yeah.
I really want to see
Heyman split from Lesnar, because especially, I mean, obviously if Lesnar's going to leave, there's no split. We just need to see Heyman with somebody else. So I really want to see the Roman Reigns heel turn with Heyman as his mouthpiece, because I think there's a lot of money to be made there. Working up to a face turn with Roman Reigns late this year, early next, going into WrestleMania, and he's the biggest fucking star in the world. But I would love to see Heyman with somebody else. And if Heyman turns on Brock, Brock is instantly a babyface. Instantly a babyface if Heyman turns on Brock. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a great idea. How about Heyman turning on Brock and not being an advocate for Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt's kind of a loner, but them having like an unholy alliance to take down Brock Lesnar.
The sinister minister.
But just having him like, you know, just talk to him every now and then. And they could have some really interesting interactions where...
Whisper some things in Bray's ear.
And because Bray could do some long meandering thing and Paul Heyman could go, okay. And then just go ahead on to one of his rants. That would be a really interesting interaction. Fuck it. I don't even care about it. Brock being involved. Get those two in some kind of interactions, because that would be a really interesting that would be an interesting segment for me.
that would be enjoyable.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you could always put Heyman with Seth.
Yeah. With the way Seth has been getting on the mic, like he doesn't need it. That would be just be like they could destroy anyone in a...
Paul
can destroy anyone.
Seth is still... He's still got a ways to go. He's getting better.
Yeah.
But he really is... His in-ring persona is so strong. He's so good in the ring. And Heyman obviously adds something to everybody. I want a stable. I really want Paul to have, like, three guys.
A family.
Yeah. I really want that.
Maybe that should be a top five next week, is your top five Heyman family
members. The five guys you'd want in there? Yeah, we could do that.
Because we're well over an hour right now.
All right.
Want to wrap things up?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, I guess we'll call it there. We definitely can get another episode in before Mania, so we'll probably be back in a couple weeks with that. As always, check us out on MissSpotsPodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MissSpots. I try to always be live tweeting along with Raw and the pay-per-views. And you can like us on Facebook. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, where you can get the new episodes automatically downloaded to any of your devices of choice that has iTunes on it, whether that be your computer, iPhone, iPad, whatever. But for Kevin, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.